Good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, May the 30th, 2018. The month of May is almost done. One more day and then we'll be headed into the month of June. It is Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday from 12:10 until 1 p.m. we have a visit from our friend Psychic Barbara Wagner. And today also Terry Tackett joins us in studio for the two-hour program. Again, we do take your phone calls during this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Every time I turn on your microphone, what'd you hit?
I bumped that. I had a bottle of water.
Bottle of water's on the floor now. I always turn your mic on, and then you start to adjust it.
Yeah.
Did somebody do that, Barbara? Is somebody floating around in here? We're cursed when it comes to that.
It never fails.
You're like Roseanne in the tweets.
Yeah.
Man. Always getting in trouble. What do you think?
I think he's fine the way he is.
We've done this now nearly for 4 years, and we'll sit there for like 10 minutes.
Probably 75% of the time.
And as soon as I turn the microphone, and then there's some adjustment going on all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then there went the water. Do you get nervous?
I don't know.
Is it a nervous tick?
We need Terry adjustment time
before we get started.
We just dedicate 2 minutes. And
we're going to have to get everything
get
ready
together.
Before
right.
the show.
Right.
No, could that be somebody floating around? Maybe the room's too full and he feels crowded.
Well, before I came in, you know, Spirit's been talking to me in the parking lot. They did that last week and they did it again this week. And so let me ask you.
Spirit loves our parking lot.
They do.
Well.
It's a great place to hang out. So let me ask you, Terry, do you know anybody by the name of Hornblower? So this is what they showed me, blowing horns. And I was like, why are you showing me that? So this is what psychics and mediums do. They ask questions of the spirit world and see what they get back. And they just kept saying, Hornblower. And I said, that's got to be a last name for somebody. So anybody that knows a Hornblower that passed.
Yeah, if you're out there listening and
you
want to
give a call, yeah, we can tune in. It was a male energy, definitely. Another male energy.
A male?
So.
Last name of Hornblower.
That's what I'm getting.
Wow.
Okay. 740-383-9944. Now, could it be somebody who was like a trumpet player?
It could be, but that's not what they were making me feel. So, and it's interesting because I've been getting signs about horns for the last 3 days. So they've been trying to impress on me. So
there's a Mr. Hornblower out in the parking lot.
Mr. Hornblower.
Did he come in?
Nice to meet you.
Oh, is he in here now?
Well, if someone calls and wants a message, I will bring him closer.
Or maybe it was Scott tooting his own horn.
Maybe Mr. Hornblower knocked over your water.
He was trying to set his trumpet there or something.
He said, watch it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Hornblower. I don't know any hornblowers.
No,
do you?
No.
No, boy, I have to wreck my mind.
So it kind of started with the Memorial Day weekend with lots of military and taps and, you know, things like that being shown on social media and TV. And, you know, so I just kind of blew it off because it was too coincidental. But then it's still continuing. And so when I sat out there, I was like, okay, it's a hornblower.
A hornblower. Well, if anybody knows any hornblowers, 740-383-9944. And all topics are on the table with Barbara here. We talk about people who are no longer here, what's in store for your future. A lot of people have asked about their love life. I think, honestly, that's probably been the most popular thing in the few weeks that we've been doing this.
Yeah,
people want to know.
That in the mediumship. And I will say, right before we got on the air, we were talking about life after death. But another thing that happens commonly that people don't talk about is, you know, either being ill or being in an accident, having an experience where you almost died or you died and came back, right? And so a lot of people don't like to talk about that because it feels isolating when it happens. You know, most people can't say that's happened to them, but it's getting pretty frequent. And so I think it's becoming more commonplace to discuss it, what happens when you cross and come back, how it affects your life, how it changes your perception, things like that. So if anybody's had an experience like that and they want to talk about it, I'd be glad to help with that.
Well, the common one I always hear about life after death is you see the white light. Mm-hmm. And you go toward the light, mm-hmm. and then something happens.
Right, right. And so people wonder if that's what happens when they actually die. And experiences are different for everybody based on what your belief system is, mainly because God wants to make it comfortable for you to come towards Him and not be afraid. And so when we talk about earthbound spirits, which are actually very rare, by the way, those are people who are afraid to cross, or they're super attached to something here in the physical, property, people, and they don't want to leave. But most of the time it's fear. It's fear-based energy and they don't want to go. So whatever's comfortable for you in your mindset is, you know, what you're going to be shown. So if white light is comfortable for you, then they're going to have you do that.
Now, you can go back and forth though, right? Once you
yes.
go there, you can come back and...
Yes, because it's not really like that. There's not really a separation. It's just our mental aspect that makes that so.
Well, I don't think we've... Is there purgatory?
I personally don't believe in it because that's not what I've been shown. So what I've been shown is that people make decisions... And sometimes they double, triple, and quadruple down on the bad decisions. And, you know, so you might start, let's just say you start out a really good kid. And, you know, you are suddenly attracted to the bad kids, right? Quote, unquote. And, you know, so you make bad decisions along with the bad kids. And then the decisions just keep coming. And they take you further and further and further away from your soul self. And so you're living more materialistic, more physical, and you're getting into some really bad situations.
See, I've always liked the idea of purgatory because St. Peter standing there, you know, oh, you're not going to get in. You know, I think that is a good learning lesson in life.
So that's a great point, actually, because if you think about how religions are set up, they are set up to have certain behaviors happen. And so for people that might be confused or maybe they like having a firm set of rules to follow, you know, that serves a purpose. So I don't ding anybody that feels that way. You know, I've had people say, well, I've seen evil. Well, what you've seen is the worst of humanity.
Terry, what do you think about purgatory?
I don't really know a lot about it. I mean, I've heard my mom used to speak it, but I don't really know.
But just it's a St. Peter allegedly is there, and he recounts your life for you.
Wow.
All the bad you've done, all the good you've done.
And then based on that, it's determined.
You either get in or you don't.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's where the judgment gets set up on souls that don't want to cross because they're afraid, I am going to get judged so harshly.
That they've done so much stuff maybe that
I've never been good enough. So I have had people very, very close to me that have passed, and before they passed, they've said to me, you know, I'm really afraid, I wasn't good enough, I made mistakes, and in my mind, I look at them and I look at their life and I'm like, you were one of the nicest people I've ever known and you treated everybody kindly. I don't know where you're getting that, but it's their own self-judgment coming in.
Well, couldn't that be a facade, though?
It could.
Because some sure. people are very nice to certain people, and then in other situations, they're just, a pile of misery.
Sure. But that applies across the board to everybody. I mean, you know, we've all had bad days, so.
That's for sure. Let's take the phone call. You're on with Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi. How can I help you?
My friend told me about this, so I was just calling in to see, have a reading with you.
Okay. So what is your first name, please?
Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. And what is your question?
On my future.
So I can tell you what the angels and your guides are showing me. I don't really do real predictive. So if you do you have more of a concrete question that's not so broad, something a little more narrow? Is this about your love life or career?
Just my life in general.
Just your life in general.
You see things straightening up for me or getting better?
Okay. So let me see. Let me tune into your angel, Wendy. Hang on just a second. So, I don't know what this means. Let me ask, okay, because she's showing me ringing bells. So let me write that down and let me ask. Do you collect bells?
No.
Okay, so. Okay, your spirit guide actually is telling me that your angel is ringing bells to try to get you to notice some things. So if what it's feeling like is that there's decisions that you know you have to make and they're right in front of you, but you're just not making them. And so they're like, get, you know, I'm just going to keep ringing bells until she starts paying attention. So they're trying, I don't know if you've seen any signs recently. They can be numbers, you know, feathers, coins, some of the typical things, or even electronics going crazy. But they are, it's like you already know what you need to do. You're just not doing it. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Okay. So here's what I tell people that come to see me. You know, we all innately know what choices we need to make. If you want your life to get better and go in a different direction, then there's choices that need to be made around that. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so let me see. Okay, for some reason they're showing me a geographical area with hills, and they're saying hill country. Well, that could be a lot of different places, and they're not getting real narrow, you know, real narrow on that.
My family's from Kentucky.
Okay, so there you go. So they're showing me hill country, and so that. There feels like there's a draw to that. If you've been considering moving back there, they are acknowledging that. Hang on and let me see if that's a good thing for you. Just a sec. Yeah, but I feel like you're not going to land there. You know, it feels like it's close, so maybe a town nearby or someplace within driving distance. They're saying maybe 40 miles or so. So from where your family lives, is there a town around there or a city?
Some of my family live in Somerset, Kentucky.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know the area. But this is what they're showing me, that there's a radius from where the people actually live to where you might end up. So that might be, you know, what's affordable, what where the jobs are, that kind of a thing. But there is a pull there. So if you're feeling that, you know, you might want to investigate it and see if it's worth it and if it's doable. Because they're showing me a split, like half of you feels like you should still be there. So there's a lot of vacillating with, you know, should I stay or should I go, like the song. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My life, yeah, it's just crazy right now.
Right.
And do you see love coming into my life anytime soon?
So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, when we finally make a forward choice and we put ourselves in new situations, it does allow for new things to come in. So I never tell anybody no about love because if you're open to it and you want it, it'll come. I do ask that you refine what you want and what you don't want. Okay, so that when you meet somebody, it'll create an internal feeling for you on whether this person is a good match or not. You know, so you want to say, you know, what are my deal breakers that I won't live with, and then what are the positive qualities? And understand that nobody's perfect, because we're not. So our mates aren't going to be, right? Because we're all human. But having that really does help. If you put it down in writing and you really look at it and know this is my firm stance, these are my boundaries, and this is what I'm going to honor, then you'll never be in that position where you'll say, you know, I settled.
Okay. Right.
So that's what I recommend. Yeah. But, you know, you want to go forward enthusiastically because you want to create those good vibes that keep the good things coming. Okay, Wendy?
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Again, the phone lines are open every Wednesday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. Psychic Barbara Wagner is the guest. Talk about love life. Talk about the future. Talk about somebody who's no longer here. 740-383-9944. If the line's busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So call back. 740-383-9944. Every Wednesday from 12:15 to 1. Have about 27 minutes left if you would like to get in on the conversation. Comes back to love.
Yeah. Well, while you're
full circle.
While you're talking, Mr. Hornblower is marching with his horn. So maybe he's not Hornblower, maybe he was in the marching band.
So Mr. Hornblower blows a horn.
Yeah.
They named him right.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Or somebody who was in marching band. That's okay. Funny because he's marching back and forth.
So he's here.
Right. Yeah.
But he's something.
Right.
Something brought him here.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Hornblower, or a guy who blows a horn.
So this is a great thing to talk about, actually. Because
somebody upstairs, maybe?
I don't know.
People who are psychically open, you know, spirits will come to them because they want to try to get messages to their loved ones. And because of the way I practice, I don't just walk around open all the time.
Right.
And so I started to tune in the parking lot. So, you know, obviously he wants to get a message to somebody. And maybe someone listening will know somebody else and say, God, there was a psychic, and she's talking about this guy marching with a horn. And they'll be like, oh, you know, that was my family member.
Can you interpret from what you're getting, like what the message is that he's trying to, or
no, because
okay, only
no,
that person
right,
would know.
Okay, right. So bottom line, you know, they want their loved ones to have that intimate experience of getting messages. So it might even be that it's not meant to be on the radio because it's too emotional.
I see.
You know, I mean that's the hard part of mediumship, is
right.
It can be very emotional.
Is there somebody else here besides Mr. Hornblower?
Well, who would you like to talk to?
Well, I don't know. Who
yeah.
Anybody you want to talk to, Terry?
Your mom?
Yeah, sure. Somebody.
We just came through Memorial Day. I don't know.
Yeah, well, again, that's a good point because, you know, a lot of veterans have passed, and that's the day you honor them. So, you know, they're going to be around their loved ones, you know, reminding them that, you know, they're not gone. I mean, we always say gone but not forgotten. They're really not gone. They're not. They're right here with us. So
hopefully not all day.
Yeah, well, you know, they're just hanging out.
Yeah,
not causing trouble, just kind of hanging out.
I mean, do you really want them around while you're sleeping?
No. I mean, you know, that's actually a safe time because that's a way they can impress on us in our dreams. But they're not here to disrupt our life. They just want to impress their love and acknowledge that they know what's been going on, things like that. So your mom, Terry, your mom's name, was it? What was it again?
My mom's name is Sharon.
Sharon, yeah. Okay. So, who's Betty? Do you know a Betty?
His grandmother.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Betty's here. So, let me see if either one of those want to give a message. Okay, hang on. Oh. Okay. I don't have any way to validate it, but they're talking to each other, and they're like, you know, yeah, here we are again. So they know each other on the other side, and, you know, they're acknowledging that they do hang around both of you. Are you, Terry, are you having feet problems?
Feet problems?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your mom is taking me to your feet, and she's acknowledging that, and she's wanting you to soak. Do you soak in Epsom salt?
Yes.
Okay, good, because she does like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
Okay. About every night, to be honest.
Okay, so that's an acknowledgement that she's with you while you're doing that, okay?
All right.
Betty's talking about pie, but I don't feel like it's a typical kind of pie, so it might be some kind of a, okay.
Was it your mom's carrot cake?
Like meat pie or, chicken pot pie or something along those lines. Oh. She's talking about she's just showing me, you know, this was something she may have fed you when you were young.
She baked. But I don't remember.
But she's veering away from the typical type of pies. So just that might be something that you figure out later on because she's just acknowledging that.
I thought teasing, but over the holidays, mom made a cake. That's why I was
No, no, Grant. No, this is Betty definitely, okay. And she's definitely holding this
a
is
pie.
Yeah, wow. This is like this is what I would make.
She ever bake homemade pies? Or?
Well, she made pies, right. But I mean, they were typical pies,
okay. Right.
Like pumpkin or peach or something that. Okay.
So you may find out as you think about it, or it may come to you in the next few days, something else that, because she's being very specific about it not being fruit, but having meat in it. Wow. So she's not telling me any more than that. So mincemeat, maybe, I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, that's interesting because, oddly, on my grandmother and his mother, both spent a lot of time at the radio station.
Oh, fun.
They did. I mean, they were there or called in or quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's odd because 2 days ago, on Memorial Day.
As weird as this sounds.
As weird as this will sound, they're both buried in the same cemetery.
Aww.
And
really just rows apart.
Yeah, just rows apart over there. And we went over, and those were the only two people we bought flowers for on Monday.
Aww. Yeah.
And we went together. So it's odd those two would be the...
Oh, well, that's great.
But I don't know anything about a meat pie.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's strange.
Yeah. Like I
said,
does
she have anything else?
Mincemeat. Let's see. So who's the male relative for you? She's not acknowledging her, but she's acknowledging you, that you have a male relative that was on the wild side when they were younger.
Well, maybe my brother.
Oh, okay. So she's just acknowledging the difference between the two of you.
Oh, well, there was a difference.
Oh, yeah. So she's just bringing that up, and that's just to validate, you know, who she is and that I'm channeling her. She's also talking about gardening, and there was something that she wanted to grow, but she couldn't. I don't know if the soil wasn't right, but that, did she garden? Because it's irritating her, and it could even be flowers.
Oh.
So, you know, there were, my mother lived in Mansfield, and there were things that she wanted to plant, but there was so much clay in the soil that it made it difficult for certain plants to thrive. And so there were things that she always wanted to plant, but she didn't. And Betty's giving me that same impression that there was something, making you think back, aren't I?
Well, no, I was just thinking, the interesting thing is she was always adamant about going to the cemeteries. And she always planted the flowers.
Mm.
But she always said once she was gone, nobody would go to her family to do it. And nobody did. Because she's buried in a different cemetery than the... Well, not all of her family, but she had a daughter who died before she did. And she's over with her parents in a completely different cemetery than the one she's buried in. And she always said, well, once she was gone, nobody was going to go visit that cemetery, and nobody did.
Aww.
And she went, that was something she had to do every year was go... plant those flowers.
So that generation did that, you know. I mean, we talked about this before, you and I, about how the newer generations don't do the gravesite thing quite as much. And I'm sure there's people that do, so I'm not trying to say they don't. But we're getting more away from it. And so this brings up another topic, which is cremation versus burial. Oh. And how is that viewed on the other side?
I think we talked about that a little bit the other day.
Yeah. Right. And is it doesn't hurt. They don't feel anything, because what I've been shown is that people actually exit their body, their souls exit right before they die. So they don't have to feel those last moments, which is a precious gift, really, if you think about it. But basically, it's like anything else. You know, we feel like we have to honor them a certain way, and it's more about your actions going forward than it is what are you actually doing with the body. There's tons of ways to honor loved ones. And so one of my favorite ways actually is planting things, you know, something that will thrive and grow, you know, as opposed to something that's just stagnant and doesn't do anything. I really love to plant things. I think that's a great thing for people that do that.
Well, that's interesting. You know, it's always fascinating to me, like in that particular situation, his mother coming to tell him about his feet and a meat pie, because, you know, those don't seem like big messages in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it was weird. I mean, even though the pie associate, I mean, she still liked to bake, so you can still kind of classify. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
It's interesting. Does anybody ever come from the other side with a big message?
Yeah, they do. And so that can come in a longer type reading. Okay, so sometimes they give big messages right away, and you know, never discount the little things. I say don't discount them, because you can have your aha moment after you're with me and you talk to somebody else, or like I say, it comes to you later. I had a message from my mom that it took me 3 years to figure out. And then when I did, it blew my mind. So you just never kind of know. It varies. Now, with the soaking of the feet, that's an acknowledgement that she sees what he's doing. Okay? And so he understands he's not alone.
Well, it's interesting, because I think that, because usually you ask the name, and you came right up with the name there.
Yeah.
Now, so did that person scream their name to you?
Yeah, they told me, because I kept getting Betty, and I was thinking, that's not the name he told me, and I'm so sorry, I couldn't remember
that's
your
right.
mom's
no,
name.
That's right.
But I knew Betty didn't belong to him, which is why I asked again for his mom's name.
Right.
So, and that's another thing, I don't like... I'll write down notes while I'm doing a reading, but then I destroy them afterwards. I don't keep information on people, you know, so sometimes they'll come see me again and they'll kind of have to remind me, because I just don't. It would be a lot to carry all the
Absolutely.
Time. It just would.
It makes sense.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So meat pie and flowers and feet.
Feet, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which,
so now,
like I say, is right on the money.
Now, where do they?
I got probably five bags of Epsom salt in my
and now, where do they go from here? They've now relayed their messages.
Okay. So, you know, it would depend. I mean, sometimes they'll come closer, and sometimes they'll stand back.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they'll just go to another family member and disappear entirely. You know, time is different. You know, when you're unbounded, where does the wind go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the wind. You can't really encapsulate it and make it take a physical form. We feel it, and it's everywhere. But, you know, your soul is different. It's unbounded. It's unmanifest. So this gets kind of into physics, actually, where you go from the absolute to totally unbounded.
Do you have a question?
What I did? No, I'm just. Last night I went to the Marion Cemetery last night to, you know, where Michelle's at, and I was kind of a little frustrated because I really couldn't. I went to the area to where I thought, but she doesn't have a marker,
right?
So I kind of struggled to find where she, you know, where she was at, and I just. I didn't know from their standpoint if they had moved. You know, I just couldn't.
So. So what your guides are telling me is that it's more about the effort that you made than it is actually being right in front of her. And so if that ever happens again and you decide you want to go back, just stop in the area where you think she's at and, you know, take a deep breath and then relax, drop your shoulders and close your eyes and just imagine her being there with you. And you've done it. You've made that connection. You've done it.
Well, that's interesting. And again, the guest is Psychic Barbara Wagner, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Have about 12 minutes left in the broadcast. We do this each and every Wednesday, 12:15 until 1 p.m. 740-383-9944. If the line's busy, just call again.
I don't know if this is kind of off the beaten path a little bit, but I know the old saying is that they always say death comes in threes.
Right.
But for a long time, like, my family didn't experience a lot. And now, the last couple of years, we've had probably four or five. Is that common, uncommon? I mean, I don't...
Right. So, I mean, that is a superstition. But if it's a belief, then, you know, that can happen, right? So, a lot of people would say, oh, you talked to a medium today? That's stupid. You know, she couldn't even give you, you know, an amazing thing, and you're trying to make the pie thing fit, so that's stupid. Why would you do that? You know, it kind of goes along those same lines. It's like, well, it's hard to disprove it if that's what happens with you and everybody you know. Then you say, well, that's what happens. Death comes in threes, you know? Bad things come in twos. I don't know what, you know, so that's kind of a belief system that's set up. I mean, obviously.
Bad things come in twos?
Oh, I'm just saying that.
No, that's like, obviously, it was like marriages.
Yeah.
Marriages, they always come in twos.
I've been thinking a lot here lately about my sister, too. I lost a sister in 95.
Okay, what's her first name?
Her name was Marina. I've been thinking a lot about her, too, and she's at the cemetery right before we get to where my mom and your area.
Yeah.
She
has cystic fibrosis.
She's showing me beads. So either there was at some point there was crafting that went on with beads, or somebody had prayer beads and they would pray with her or something. Because there's beads involved and they're tangible and I can feel them. And so she's giving me that. Let me see what else she's got. She's talking about a lost kitten.
I'm sure really if she had any animals.
Okay.
You know,
so this may not belong to her, but it may belong somewhere in the family. At some point somebody had a kitten that was lost.
Well, she, you know, maybe her apartment, she lived with her boy. I don't know, maybe if they had a cat. You
She's
know,
talking,
something.
Yeah, she just keeps saying lost kitten, lost kitten, lost kitten. So that goes somebody she knew or herself.
Yeah.
And it's just bringing up something from the past to validate. So, you know, however you would have to do to validate that. So let me see what else she's got. She's talking about feeling cold when she was in the physical, that some people tend to be hot, she tended to be cold. So
she was always, yeah.
Feeling cold.
I mean, even this type of weather, she'd be...
Yeah, because she started out showing me, like, the puffy jacket, you know, and was like, it can't get puffy enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so cold.
Like, her extremities were not, like, her fingertips. She would always be.
Okay. So let's see what else she's got. I don't know how you're going to validate this either. She's talking about red shoes.
Just maybe some tennis shoes.
It might have been something she had that she really liked and felt good.
Yeah, I know she was always a huge fan of, like, Mickey Mouse. You know, she always liked that type of stuff.
Mickey
so.
And Disney. Yeah, yeah. And so where do fireworks come in for her?
She always enjoyed them, you know, because my dad lived in Prospect. She always enjoyed going down to that show, you know, the big 4th of July thing they had.
Okay. So.
And he would always buy some homemade, you know, fireworks and things.
Okay,
and,
so she appreciated that. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That, yeah.
Okay, so that's a good validation.
Because she lived with him for a while, and they always, like I say, she always went to...
Oh, so that's good. She's acknowledging
her time. 22 or 23 when she.
So, what happened during her birth? She's showing me something went wrong during her birth. Do you understand that?
She, well, the only thing is, I know she, just from my dad, she had this gene, like I say, that led to, you know, her getting this cystic. She was just always real sick, you know, she was just...
Yeah, it feels like there was something during the birth process. So either during or right after, something happened, but she's not showing me what it is. She's just... taking me to that time period.
Yeah.
And so that might be something that just doesn't need to be discussed on air, but you could find out.
Right, sure. That's what I'm going to talk to my dad about that. Yeah. I just know she was always really sick, you know. And
okay. So, and I mean, it could have even been when she was born, she struggled a little bit. And so that's what she's acknowledging. Yeah, I don't know, but that's something
you can find
out.
Well, I know my dad said she was underweight and everything, you know.
Okay.
She was,
okay. So that's hard too. Yeah. That's scary.
Yes. Yeah.
For the family.
Yeah. And I do remember one thing when she was younger. I don't know if you guys ever remember that movie, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Right.
She kind of had that, like she had this tint almost that she, because, you know, she couldn't have any germs, you know, or anything. And I kind of remember for a while, you know, that she had that.
For her immune system, probably.
Yeah, so. And it kind of like fit over the bed, you know, but it was just, I remember that when she was younger. And
she's acknowledging... She's actually talking about forgiveness for a family member that didn't want to be around because they were afraid and they didn't understand, like, her illness. So you know how people sometimes have a hard time being around somebody who is hooked up to a lot of tubes or they have cancer? And so it's just something innate that you wish you didn't have, but you're like, oh, I just don't know how I'm going to go see this little girl. And so she's acknowledging a family member doing that. Okay. So you might want to ask your dad
that.
That
may have been one of my sisters. You know, my other sisters could have,
Okay. So those are things you're going to have to look into and see.
Yeah, sure will. Yeah, that's some good info right there.
So they don't need to carry any guilt or shame. Okay. That's all forgiven on the other side. And I feel like she actually felt that when she was in the physical. Like, she totally understood and, like, that was okay.
Yeah.
Like, you go, it's okay that you go have fun and I can't. Or you do your thing and I can't.
That was one of the last meetings that we had with her. Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, the last time we got to see, you know, in the hospital, it was kind of that way. And
Right. She wanted people to keep living their lives.
Sure,
so that's a good thing.
So all of these people, in the end, are in a good place.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. And so people say, well, what about people that do really bad things? And so to that I say... You still have to go through a life review process and you see how life was through other people's eyes that came into contact with you. And so anything you did in the negative, you're going to feel it. Here's what happened because you made that choice. Remember, I talked about going back to choices.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond that, once the life review is done, I would tell people, why would you limit God? God is unlimited. So, you know, just by some of the things that we set up, we're limiting God. And it's just not like that. It's unlimited love.
Well, love, till death do you part. Now, what if you get before that and you say, well, I've had enough.
Right.
I can't wait for death.
Right. So, again, choices. You know, just like the lady that called before and I asked her not to settle, you know. I also tell clients, please date for at least a year. At least 1 year.
Before you jump.
Right, because it's going to be hard for somebody to keep up a pretense for a long time. And eventually, you know, the rose-colored glasses fall off.
You know, I think it takes longer than a year, though.
It could.
I do.
It could.
Yeah.
But it's a start. It's a place to start, you know. And so And then there's people who wait, you know, like they're together 10 years and then they get married and they get divorced a year later. It was like, was it the commitment? You know, you just wonder.
But I think some people are enablers in that, you
they
know, you
are.
See the people's faults,
right.
but you think I'll fix them.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
they become a project.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're not going
right.
to fix them.
Right.
This is who
right.
they
right.
are.
Right. Right.
For better. Like we were talking about relationships yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person has a problem. Like, if a person is divorced, you should look at that as a red flag because it didn't work out for them once.
Right.
So you walking down the aisle with them might be troublesome because there's something about that marriage that did not gel.
Well, I can see that, but not always, maybe. Maybe you are the one that, you know.
Well, people
don't
always
know.
Die in threes, but
right,
it does
right.
happen.
It does, yeah.
And I think that is the truth. I think... Because people get silly, and I don't know if that's love, but it's I like to call it insanity. I think they go insane, and they think, oh, this person has all these flaws, has all these habits, does all these things I don't like.
But he won't do that to me.
But all of a
yeah.
sudden, I'm in this
yeah,
relationship,
yeah.
and it's going to be fine.
Right.
Well, it won't.
Right. So that's a truth. I'm not going to deny that that's not a truth. And, you know, I say this every program, you know, emotional maturity means a lot. And so how do you get there? You know, if you haven't gotten past, you know, your childish ways, then you can't expect to have an adult relationship. And that's where boundaries are respected and you support but don't control. I mean, there's just so many
trust.
Different dynamics.
You have to have trust.
You do.
You can't be looking at people's phones and email accounts.
Right.
That's right.
And you know what? If some, there's a lot of spite. There really is.
Right.
There's a lot of spite in the world. Even
yeah.
when relationships are over,
yeah.
people, I don't know if it, is it a hang-up? I don't know what they call that.
Well, I think...
we talked about that yesterday
yeah.
when the relationship's over.
I think it's
over.
Maybe not enough closure. Maybe there's still some not any closure there.
That's where
know?
I was...
Do they still love the... Are they still in love?
That's where I was going to go. Again, that's a childish reaction. If you want to... The better thing to do would be to live life fabulously and say,
but,
well, then they can regret not being with me. But, you know...
But is it because of your love, though?
I don't call that love.
No, if you are acting spite, like
is
in,
that what causes
like
that?
In first grade, you know, you punch the girl you love. And, no, you do.
Yeah,
that's what
that
they do.
Right.
I mean, there's
yeah.
no joke in
right,
that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I mean that's what they do because
yeah.
they don't know. What's true? They don't know how to deal with their emotions.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you punch the girl you love in the arm or whatever because
right.
you want attention
yeah.
back
yeah.
on
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So if you are done with somebody and you're still dealing with them and still saying nasty things to them, I always interpret that as you still have some kind of feeling toward them.
So I would look at it more as an unhealthy attachment.
See, that's what I call
marriage,
an unhealthy attachment.
People get too enmeshed. And so if you look up these terms, you'll understand more of what I'm saying. But when you're too enmeshed, you're too much in the other person's space and not in your own.
But why do you get there?
Yeah.
Well, because you don't understand... that you need to be whole and complete yourself and allow them to be whole and complete themselves.
But what if you've moved on with somebody else and you're still
and they have,
worried
yeah.
about somebody else?
Well, I think it depends on the level. I mean, I think it's okay to end a relationship and move on and still say, well, I don't wish that person any ill will. And, you know, I heard that person is not feeling well. And so I'm going to pray for them.
Oh, no, not that.
That
we're talking,
kind of thing.
Spiteful
yeah,
reactions.
Well, that's on a really super far negative end of the spectrum.
But why do you get there?
Yeah.
What drives you
yeah.
to that? If you are happy and you are in a new thing and your life is grand, why do you have spiteful
and,
reactions?
And if it's due to like, let's say, lack of closure, how do they get that full closure?
Give them closure.
But don't you think that part of it is how you're raised? If you've been shown spiteful behavior and what kind of attention that gets you, because that's an attention-seeking thing. That's not healthy.
Yeah, but why do you want attention from the old relationship?
Right, that's, yeah.
But you want to punish them because they left you.
Yeah, but be spiteful towards your new relationship. They'll give you all the attention in the world.
But in your mind, you think you're happy, but you're still not.
Honest to goodness, does marriage make any sense? Now, Barbara, you're married, though, right?
I am, very happily, that's good. Actually.
And I'm happy for you, and I'm not negatizing. That's a word I'm going to make up for today.
Yeah.
I'm not
that's a Scottism.
Yeah, trademark Scottism. That.
Everything is fine.
Hashtag. You know,
for people, life. See, me and Roseanne, we're making.
Yeah, that's right. Tweet that out.
But they won't take me off the air, if I don't think, for that word. But so all this is going on, but really, when you break down marriage, it sounds insane. I mean, when you think about it, you are saying it's like a suicide pact. You're saying we are going to be together until death do us part. Couldn't that be a little less hectic? Couldn't it be until one of us gets bored?
That might be a week later.
We're going to have to be together until death do us part. Holy moly, that's troublesome. I don't want that.
Well, so again, that's a choice. People choose it. They don't have to.
But then they get out of it.
Another choice.
You know, one time, and I'll bring this up. I cut a lot of heat for this one time. And I swear on whatever, that I did not mean this. One of my cousins was getting married, and the whole family was going to the wedding. It was in a different city, and I didn't want to go. I was busy, something like that. But I thought, I'll get a card. And honest to goodness, I bought the wedding, a very nice wedding card. Cost like $10. You know, this was a Hallmark. And I wrote in there, in my mind, I thought this will explain my absence in kind of a jovial way. Like I had to work and can't come. You know, I wanted to be a little levity with the thing. And I wrote, sorry I couldn't make this wedding. I'll try to make the next one. And I said, now see? Now, I'll tell you, the next day they start opening up those cards. I had the groom's father calling me. They were going to come and put me up. And I honestly, to this day, never met that. I had the bride crying on her wedding night.
Are they still married?
Kinda. They're in one of those suicide packs.
It's complicated.
They are married. They've got kids.
As it says on Facebook, it's complicated.
They're still married. They've got kids. But okay. Was I wrong? I mean, I didn't mean it that way. So now I send a card to everybody. Sorry I couldn't come to this funeral. I'll make it to the next one.
Yeah.
I was totally...
That's your signature.
Was that my subconscious? No, and then for after that... See, this is how rude my family is. After that, any time anything went on, they said, well, why don't you just send a card and not go? You know, because of all the...
Yeah.
Now, what kind of family is that? No, but I really did not mean her harm. I was just... that was more about me.
Right.
I can't be there, so I'll try to come... I wasn't meaning your marriage is doomed.
Right.
Well, kind of sounds that way.
No, but I didn't. Oh, I'll tell you, they threw that card... I don't know where that card ended up.
It got burned.
It's in Lake Erie.
It's floating at the bottom somewhere.
Yeah.
But was I wrong?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Was I wrong, Terry?
I don't think so. It was levity. It's kind of more of like levity. A joke, maybe.
But I don't know. About it in today's terms. If you had texted that, again, you're trying to... comedy doesn't always transfer.
There's a time and a place, and evidently that wasn't the right time.
Right.
If you can't
maybe
laugh.
The bachelor party. Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you can't laugh at that, then hey.
Exactly. I mean,
you know what?
I
don't have time for that.
I would laugh.
I don't talk to him now.
Of course not.
No, I don't even.
You're waiting for the next one.
Yeah, I'll wait for the next one.
Oh.
You know, I think that's fine, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can choose to handle it the way you want, but I don't see anything.
I mean, it wasn't like I put a profane word
right,
in
exactly,
there.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? It's not like, I'll try. I don't know. It's been fun.
It has.
It has been a. It's always a blast, Barbara Wagner.
Yeah, we always have a good time.
And remember, 12:10 to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. Barbara Wagner is the guest. 740-383-9944. Barbara, have a great weekend, and we're coming back in 10 minutes. Oh man, we're going to talk about Roseanne. Oh no, hold your breath for the next one.
Get ready.
Yeah, sorry, I can't make it to this commercial. I'll be back for the next.
Sit up on your cell phone or your favorite mobile device.
This is Sax Sullinger. You can catch